Okay, welcome back, all of you. Hope you had a wonderful holiday. Happy New Year and a Merry Christmas. We took a little break in hopes that we could celebrate the holidays with family and take some time to get our fist steps done. So I wanted to go back to page 63 on the bottom. Just do a little reminder here. First, I'm going to start us off with a prayer. Thank you so much, God, for bringing us all back here this evening. Thank you for a safe and wonderful holiday with family and friends. Thank you for giving us the courage to complete our inventory, to ask somebody else to sit down with us and to listen to our inventory. Help us to find what was objectionable in our lives. And please, God, give us the courage to continue to just put one foot in front of the other and know that from here on out, you're in charge. We will need your help. And just help us to rely upon you as we move forward. Thank you again. In your name we pray. Amen. So on page 63, after we did
Hey,
our.
Jason, real quick. Sorry, I have this version, the smaller book I took with me on vacation, and the pages don't line up. Do you know what page? You know how to do that conversion of the pages on the small book?
I think it only doesn't line. Is that the abridged version? I think it only doesn't line up in the beginning. It open up to page 63. Do you see the third step prayer on there?
Yeah.
Okay, so the
Okay,
pages are
so
the
that is
same.
the right
It's
one.
just in the beginning. Yeah.
So
Okay, so
next we launched out on a vigorous course of action.
yeah, that's what I'm going to talk about here. So when we
Okay,
did
cool. Thanks.
when we did our third step, we talked about what comes next. And I like to allow this to transcend through the remainder of our steps. And I'd like you guys to kind of focus on it because I believe it not only to be true for the prayer that we said in our third step and this contract that we made with God to rely upon Him and to turn our will and our lives over to Him and His care. But it's also conditional on the remainder of the work and what our recovery looks like. So here it says, next we launched on a course of vigorous action. The first step of which is a personal house cleaning. So we did that and we moved from here right into our inventory. And a lot of us spent a lot of time on that and we worked really, really hard. It says many of us never attempted that. And though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. And that's kind of where we're walking today. And I just wanted to remind you guys that you've worked very hard. You've been diligent. You've been fearless. You've been thorough. And as we get halfway through this work, before you know it, this workshop's going to be completed and we're not going to be meeting weekly anymore. So ultimately, this is up to you guys. What you put into this from here on out will be what you get out of it. And that's kind of the essence of continuing for me to practice these principles in all my affairs. It was very important as I went through the work to look at it as a vigorous course of action and ask myself the question, am I truly willing to go to any length to overcome this disease? Now in our fifth step, it says that if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. So I'd also like for you all to kind of weigh heavily on that particular statement. Ask yourself, did you take the time to do the fifth step? Were you willing? Hopefully you have. I truly believe that balking here or slowing down here is very detrimental to the process of recovery. So what I'd like to start is on page 75. I want to talk about the promises from our fifth step and hopefully what we did after we met with our step guide or sponsor and did our fifth step. So here it says, we pocket our pride and we go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. So did you pocket your pride? And did you get to it? Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, was there anything that you held back? Is there anything that you're sitting on that you may want to talk about? Because once we withhold nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. So those are our fifth step promises, and hopefully some of you experience some of that, all of that. I definitely felt the nearness of my Creator as I was sitting down with the two men that I went through the fifth step with and had the blessing to listen, to be reminded of some of the things in my life that I still find objectionable. And that's another thing I want to talk about tonight as we move forward. The book has two paragraphs on page 6 and 7. 6 and 7 are usually glossed over. We're not going to spend a lot of time on them. And the reason is, it's up to you. This is between you and God. You wrote the inventory. You saw what was objectionable. What are you going to do about it when it comes to turning it over to God, lifting it up to God, bringing it up in prayer? My belief is that it is not a one and done. My belief is that the willingness is the key, and a continued willingness and awareness of things that are objectionable in my life helps me to swallow the concept of humbly asking God to remove my shortcomings and my defects of character. I used to be under this conception. I'll never forget when I first walked into AA in 2018 and I got the courage to ask a man to help me. And we were standing outside of a meeting down here in San Diego at Pathfinders at night, and it was dark, and he'd give me a ride. And I looked at him and I said, Joe, I just can't wait to get to 6 and 7 because I want all this stuff gone. I just want it gone. That was my perception of how this worked. And the look I got and that awkward smile, I'll never forget. And today I kind of understand how it really works in my life. There is so much action. It's kind of a paradox, my experience. There's so much action in me continuing to practice step 6 and 7 on a regular basis. See, there's no action in me removing these defects or deciding what it looks like in my life or to what level my fear falls from me. But there is so much action in consistently acknowledging my humanity. And when it continues to grip me or hold me back or lie to me or control me or bring out these sides of me that are ugly. So that's my level of action when it comes to step 6 and 7. Continuing to ask God to remove the things that are objectionable in my life. Again, I believe the key is the willingness is there. So when we got back from our fifth step, it gives us some directions. And it says here, after our fifth step, these became did I questions. So when I returned home, did I find a place where I could be quiet for an hour? Did I carefully review what I had done? Did I take some private time alone and carefully review the compassion that was shown to me, the empathy, the understanding that I got? Did I thank God from the bottom of my heart that I know him better? Did I take a minute after my fifth step when I got home or when I closed that laptop to thank God from the bottom of my heart that I knew him better? Did I pick up this book and did I turn to the page that contains our 12 steps? Did I carefully read the first five proposals and ask myself if I had omitted anything? Am I building an arch through which I can walk a free man at last? Remember, the third step was our keystone to this archway to freedom. And we got some inventory and we saw some real truths about ourselves. Then we came clean and we found all these objectionable things in our lives and the way we've lived and the way we've treated others and the delusions and most important, the fears that have been driving everything. Am I ready to walk through that archway? Is my work solid so far, and are the stones properly in place? Kind of like building a house on sand, and the storm comes and washes it away. Or building a house on bedrock, right? And that foundation is solid. What'd your fifth step do for you? Did I skimp on any of the cement put into the foundation? Did I try to make mortar without sand? So this is just an honest time for me to reflect. Did I leave anything out? Is my work solid so far? And I will tell you, if you are in a vigorous course of action, if you wrote an honest and thorough inventory, you made that appointment with your sponsor or step guide, you did your fifth step during this holiday break, you're back here today. You've either done step six and seven, or when we close this laptop tonight, you will walk right towards it. Then your work is probably solid so far. And you're not trying to make mortar out without sand. So after I take some time to consider, I move right into my sixth step. Downtime and gaps between five, six, seven, eight, and nine, I believe, are the most detrimental aspects of a solid recovery in our lives. That's just my belief. That doesn't make it true. Maybe that's coming from a place of ego. I don't know, but I do understand that in my case and in my life, if I balk and if I take too much time, I will not be thorough and I won't take the action. And I think that hour of sitting there after my fifth step to reflect, to go right into my sixth and seventh step was very important for me because I spent time sitting with somebody talking about objectionable things in my life. And I'm a man that lives in delusion. So as time goes by, the delusion crops back up. Those objectionable things in my life tend to, they tend to hold less weight. And I have a way of minimizing them. So it's important, I believe, to go right into this. It says here, if we can answer to our satisfaction, then we look at step six. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Where did we emphasize that? We emphasize that in the spiritual experience, right? Talked about willingness, open-mindedness, and honesty. These things are indispensable. You can't do this process or program without them. So here, willingness is indispensable. Am I now ready to let God remove from me all of the things that I have admitted are objectionable? See, that's the key. Am I willing? Now, if I'm fearless and thorough and honest in an inventory process, and I go into this fifth step, and I have an honest, open discussion about fears and delusions and behaviors and selfish attitudes in my life, resentments I've been carrying around, how I've allowed these people to dictate how I feel, how I act, all based on a perception of the world and them that I've created, run by self-will and self-reliance. Am I willing to be free of that? And if I look hard enough, of course, absolutely. The problem is sometimes I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how that's going to happen. And I think that's the essence of this pact that I'm making with God. So I look at the third step as kind of a contract we're signing with God and saying, okay, God, I'm willing to turn my will and my life over to your care. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what's coming of this. I don't know how scary this is going to be, how humble I'm going to have to be, but I'm willing. Where do I sign? Okay, right here. Sign my life to you, God, and I jump right into the inventory process. I take this vigorous course of action, right? Well, now I know some truth, man, and it's ugly, and some of it hurts. I may be clinging to some of it. I might not want to let go of some of it. Some of these fears and these delusions and principles of my life, they may be protection mechanisms for myself. But if I've looked hard enough, I've actually seen that truth too. So here in 6 and 7, now I'm making a pact with God. I'm basically a blood pact. I'm saying, okay, God, now I know what I'm dealing with. And the real truth I see is that I can do nothing about it. I could not have done any better without your help in my life. And I can't do any better moving forward without your help in my life. So this pact that I'm willing to make with you, God, is that you can and I can't. And here they are. And this is what I see. And I lift them up to you. And we look at every resentment that we're carrying around. We look at each particular situation, all the things we talked about. We look for the exact nature of our wrongs. You see, these defects of character in my life, the greed and the control and the lust and the superiority and the self-righteousness are all driven by fear. So yes, I have these defects of character, and yes, I could list them on paper, and I could probably put 15 or 20 of them down, but the truth is that I found the exact nature of my wrongs through looking at my fears, and what I have found is that there's only a handful of fears that are driving every single defect of character in my life. So those are the things that I'm lifting up to God. Those are the things that I'm willing to be free of. And it makes it so much easier for me to come to terms with the willingness to have God remove them. Am I willing to have God remove my fear of failure? Am I willing to have God remove my fear of not being good enough? Am I willing to have God remove my fear of weakness? You see, I'm so afraid of having empathy and compassion, understanding and listening to you because I'm so afraid of being wrong. So am I willing to let God help me overcome this fear of being wrong and allow me to be wrong, which is going to enable me to listen to you, to have compassion for you and empathy for you, to have like a real human interaction instead of worrying all the time about controlling you and fixing you and being right, driven by my own fears of not being good enough and failure. So can he now take them all, every one? Am I ready? If I'm still clinging to something that I don't want to let go, I ask God to help me be willing. So there's very few things that I disagree with in the way that we go through this work, but there is a portion that talks about if you are clinging to something, don't do step 7. Talk to your sponsor. Now, I do agree with maybe having another conversation, but I'm pretty sure if you can find the exact nature of these wrongs, if we can simplify it, that you're going to be willing to be free of it. And this is why I say this is a pact that I have to visit, revisit over and over and over again in my life. And there are so many times where I ask God to give me the willingness. Please, God, give me the willingness. Now, there is an issue that comes up because we looked at some real pain. Remember, we validated our pain by putting it on paper. We're not dismissing the harm that has been done to us. We are trying to release these resentments that we're hanging on to. So in order to truly release certain things, we have to come to a place of forgiveness and acceptance. Now, we may be willing to be free of all of our defects of character, but we may be unwilling to forgive certain people or circumstances in our lives. So at that point, what I would implore you to do is to look at the exact nature of that defect, this unwillingness to forgive. What is it? And I would like you to just step back and take a look at the goodness of God in your life, the forgiveness that you were searching for, and allow that to transcend into forgiveness of others, even though they've wronged us. You see, I can't go make these amends if I don't forgive. I can't be free of my shortcomings and defects of character if I don't forgive. And my belief is, and again, a lot of the things that I say, guys, is my belief. It doesn't make it true. But one of my beliefs is that I cannot truly be forgiven until I forgive. And I cannot truly be loved until I love. Right? Not by God, by you guys. I believe God loves and forgives me, and that's, there's no condition for that. That's part of my faith. That's part of my unworthiness. That's part of my willingness to walk towards him, especially in this particular step. But I do believe that if I'm not able to love you guys, you won't love me. And if I'm not able to forgive you guys and the people around me, they're not going to forgive me. So if we are hanging on, clinging on to some of these resentments, I mean, some of these harms, man, are bad. Some of this stuff is totally validated. It's painful. Our parents abused us. They neglected us. I mean, there's some tough things here. Some of us have had sexual abuse, physical abuse. There's so many aspects of a thorough and fearless resentment inventory, and it's different for each and every one of us. But if the forgiveness is an issue, please walk towards that and ask yourself, does God truly forgive me? Do I believe that God will forgive me so that I can recover and move forward. And ask yourself, shouldn't I go to him for the willingness to forgive others? Because sometimes that's going to be the only way. And that's another reason why I'm talking about continuing to do this. If I was to tell you, why don't you just go pray for 1 week on this person, ask for forgiveness, poof.
Going viral because it flat out works. No gimmicks, nonsense, just programs.
That wouldn't be realistic. I don't believe. So contemplate that. Think about what's really required. And if there's an element of forgiving yourself, which in my case there really was. I had to recognize where I was unwilling to forgive others. I really, really did. My father, best example, 50-year addict, alcoholic, neglected me, wasn't there for me, wasn't the dad I wanted to be. You know, it was just like it said in the fifth step promise. You know, some of us had spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. And that's what happened the moment that I was willing to get to a place of forgiveness of a man who suffered from the same illness as me that I was unwilling to recognize. And I was always trying to think of how he only did the best. He didn't do the best he could. And I've come to terms with the fact that he only did the best he knew how. And if I honestly reflect on my own behavior and my interactions with family, I'm no better. So contemplate what continuing to ask God to be willing in your life looks like. So when we're ready, we say something like this. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. So if I'm on a vigorous course of action, what comes next? The amends process. If I'm asking God to grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding, what am I walking towards? I'm walking right into this amends process. Am I going to walk there vigorously, strenuously, with real effort, or am I going to balk? Am I going to justify it through the inability to forgive, accept? Are my defects of character going to get in the way? Remember, procrastination, sloth, putting things off, that's a defect of character, right? It is one of the seven deadly sins. So what's behind it? Fear. So if you think about it, if we take a real look at these defects in our lives, these things that we feel like are holding us back, and we keep going to God and saying, God, just help me to be more peaceful with other people. Help me to understand other people. Help me to learn how to communicate. Help me to forgive. If I dig a little bit deeper, I'm just so scared. I'm scared of being wrong. I'm scared of not being worthy in your eyes, not being good enough. I'm scared of disappointing you. And all of these are elements of me becoming humble and vulnerable and opening up to God. This is that willingness. God, help me. God, help me be willing. I want you to take the good and the bad. Here I am. Remove it. Take away what's getting in the way of my usefulness to you and to my fellows. Next week, we're going to talk about one of my favorite lines in the book and our real purpose. And it's on the following page. It says our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. We'll talk about that in our amends next week. See, I can't be of maximum service to God and the people about me if I don't willingly go to God consistently and say, please remove these things that are blocking me from being of use to you and my fellows. because that's all they're doing. Because now I'm in this place of acknowledging my fault, setting aside what you did to me, trying to see you through the eyes of God, trying to see that I see God in your eyes, trying to see you as a child of God, equal, everybody unworthy of this awesome power that's helping us to become better people. I want to forgive you. I want to move forward. So we transcribe here, it says, this doesn't say anything about my working on my character defects. What does that mean? I can't work on them. I can't work harder. No amount of writing or talking is going to help me with my defects of character. What that helps me do is it helps me get to the exact nature of those defects. That's what I lift up to God. I just want to continue to go to Him with this. Now, I gave you all a sheet that they give us for step 6 and 7. And if you haven't done it yet, it says find a place where you can be alone. Put your resentments in front of you. Pick one, glance at it front and back. What are you turning over to God? In a meditative way, ask God some questions. Can I see what's objectionable? Can I see on my own power I couldn't have behaved differently? Can I see on their own power they couldn't have behaved differently? Is there anything I'm holding on to and I'm unwilling to let go of? Am I willing to turn to God for help with all these things from now on? From now on, the pack. This is the pack. Am I willing to turn to God with all of these things from now on? Acknowledging that I can't do anything about them. I can't work on my own defects of character. So that's kind of the place that I have come to with step 6 and 7. I don't beat myself up about it. I don't have expectations. I am a firm believer that God's not going to remove my humanity. And the reason why He's not going to remove my humanity is so that there's a continued necessity for me to turn to Him, to ask Him, and to rely on Him. I believe that my imperfections make me perfect in the eyes of God. Think about that. Think about your imperfections making you perfect in the eyes of God. Think about the awareness that comes up from doing this work, how you can't hide from it anymore. How I've got two choices. I can just get in some real pain, miserable, or I can acknowledge it. I can talk to somebody about it. I can lift it up to God. I can put one foot in front of the other. And I can get out there and share with somebody else my struggles and what I go through. And how hard this really is. Think about the connection you made with that fifth step and how good it feels to sit down with somebody that understands. Think about you being able to bring that to somebody from here on out. This is you really becoming armed with facts about yourself, just like it talked about in the earlier chapters in our first step, and how we can get through to the any alcoholic or addict better than a doctor, better than family, because we get it. So we transcribed on top here that it said, this doesn't say that God's going to remove all my defects of character. Some defects are what make me attractive to others. one of my biggest defects is alcoholism. For example, the problem gets removed, but the alcoholism, that just gets suppressed. So let's not use that statement to justify ridiculous things in our lives, but let's kind of get to a place to know that God's going to use us in ways that we don't expect sometimes. Remember the key. What's the key? Willingness. I'm willing to change. I'm willing to make this pact with you. I'm willing to lift this up to you. Seven-step prayer, just like the third-step prayer, it's great to utilize from here on out. It's great to recognize the defects of character that are standing in the way of my usefulness to God on a daily basis, because every day is different. And I can't recover on yesterday's spirituality. My recovery is one day at a time. And what does that look like? So today I just want to remind you guys, like, if you've done your fifth step, congratulations, man, for coming this far and working this hard. Don't fall short here. If you've already done a 6 and 7, awesome. Most important, from step 6 on, between you and God. It is truly between you and God. What are you going to do? Nobody's going to hold your hand. You're not going to be held accountable to anybody. Step 6 and 7 are private to you. The amends process is private to you and the people you go through it with. Your step 10 and 11 is private to you. It's between you and God and maybe a sponsor from time to time. Step 12 happens because you're willing to practice these principles and you're willing to stick your hand out and go help somebody. See, from here on out, this is up to you. We've spent almost 5 months learning some hard truths about ourselves. And hopefully we've got to this place of forgiveness, acceptance of who we are, acceptance of who we're not. Forgiveness of the people we never thought we would be able to. Let's try and be a little lighter and a little bit more free here. This is a gift, and we want to be able to give it away. We cannot transmit something we don't have. I can't walk somebody through step work and talk to them about doing amends when I'm hanging on to a couple that I'm just not willing to do, or when I've never sat down and done an honest 6 and 7. And made a point to actually make these steps. Not just glazed over 2 chapters in the book, move to my amends. Let's make this real. But there is nobody here to hold you accountable anymore. We'll be talking about step 10 in a couple of weeks, and there'll be some of you, a lot of you that haven't done all the amends. That's time to look in the mirror. What's holding you back? What do we do? I'll talk more about that next week. But again, this is up to you. So that's kind of my take on 6 and 7, what it means to me, and how important it really, really is for us to continue. And I really, truly want to just congratulate you all for coming this far and for still being here. It's important to me, and I know it's important to you. So what we're going to do for next week is assignment 20, which is we're going to transcribe steps 8 and 9 in the book. And when we meet next week, we're going to talk about steps 8 and 9. There's a page. On page 81 of our workbook that talks about making cards. I would like you all to look at that page after you've transcribed 8 and 9. Make your cards. Let's get busy. The time is now. We're going to invite God in. We're going to continue to be aware of our defects. We're going to lift them up. We're going to continue to ask him to remove these things that are blocking us from usefulness to him and our fellows. We're going to ask him for strength as we go out from here to do his bidding. We're going to transcribe 8 and 9. We're going to make our cards. You are going to need the help of God to go out and do the immense. So start with 6 and 7 and let it transcend. Let it carry right on into it. Let that be the course of action. God, I don't know what this looks like. I don't know how I'm going to talk to these people. Or I've already done this. Do I really need to do this again? I don't know. Again, nobody here to hold you accountable. Next week, I'll talk more about opening your heart, closing the mind. That's how this stuff's possible from here on out. Mind's got to shut down. Heart's got to open up. So I think that's all I got for tonight, man, on 6 and 7. So just want to tell you guys I love you. And let me stop this recording here.